Hello and welcome to the How Games Make Money podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb. I am the PC gaming editor at GamesBeat.com, a part of VentureBeat.com. And this is my new show. Welcome. Thank you. I really do appreciate you tuning in, giving it a chance. This is the first episode. We're figuring things out. Each week, I'm going to have a different guest on from different corners of the industry, content creators, developers, publishers, people who make tools. And I'm going to ask them this question. How do you make a living in this business? And I've been fascinated, and I'm hoping that you will be as well. And that's going to take us right into this first episode, where I am going to be talking to Omer Kaplan from Iron Source, which is a company that makes a tool that helps people make money from their games. And we'll get into that starting right now. Let's go to some music, though, first, I think. Again, we're just figuring this out. Omer Kaplan is the Chief Revenue Officer at Iron Source. Iron Source is an ad network that delivers ads in hyper-casual games. Omer oversees this business operation of generating money by showing ads in games where people tend to not spend money on in-app purchases, but they do want to get maybe a little something extra by watching an ad. And Iron Source focuses on that, these incentivized videos that often lead players from hyper-casual games into deeper games, games where they might actually spend money on in-app purchases. We go in-depth on this topic and more in our conversation, which you can listen to right now. Welcome to How Do Games Make Money. I'm Jeff Grubb, your host. I'm talking this week with Omer Kaplan from Iron Source Games. I'm going to have Omer introduce himself, say hi to everybody, and tell us a little bit about Iron Source. Go ahead, Omer.
Yeah, hi. So it's great to be here. So I'm Omer Kaplan, one of the founders of Iron Source and the chief revenue officer. And Iron Source in general is a company which is focused on helping game developers to turn their game into a business, primarily focusing on tools around how to better monetize and how to better market your game. We're about 900 people, originally HQ'd in Israel, but today with offices around the world. And it's great being here. Thank you for inviting us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Omer. The name of the show is basically the question I want to explore when I talk with people, how do games make money? But let's start with talking about, like, how does Iron Source help developers and games make money?
Yeah, sure. So maybe in order to answer that, I'll speak about for a second how do games make money. And in general, games make money from two ways, or primarily two ways. One is in a purchase, which is still it's the bigger part of how games make their money today. By the way, when you're looking at TAM perspective, total addressable market, the in-app purchase ecosystem is about a $70 to $80 billion a year ecosystem.
These are microtransactions, like people actually buying digital things inside of games or people buying the games.
Yeah, they're paying in order to go to, in order to buy something in the game, in order to skip a phase or anything that they want to do. And this has actually been the model for several years now. And up until a few years ago, this was the really like the 90% or even 95% of how games made their money, right? And the other way is ads, right? Games can make their money through ads. And what we're seeing in the last like 4 or 5 years is a very strong trend towards making more money from ads. And when I say ads, ads in games are a bit different than the way ads works in general, because some of the ads, especially ads which are called rewarded videos or rewarded playables, these are actually a type of advertisement which is a hybrid between these microtransaction and regular advertising. So the user, he's choosing to watch an ad, right? And then he's getting some kind of a currency in the game or some kind of a reward in the game. And so again, it's something which is in the middle, and it's a really strong win-win-win for everybody. And it's called rewarded video. And it started to scale like 5 years ago. And today it's still the biggest ad unit or the biggest way that games make their money from ads. And in the last like 2 years, we're actually seeing new type of games which makes the vast majority of their money from ads, So it's not even the 80-20 or the 70-30 that we're seeing from casual games. These are called, for example, hyper-casual games, or in some cases, idle games, that they make their money almost solely from ads, right? Their entire business model is based on ads, and these ads can be a combination of rewarded ads, which is what I said before. We're calling it user-initiated ads, because the user is choosing to watch an ad in order to get the reward, or regular ads, which is more what we're calling system-initiated, which is more, let's take interstitials or banners, or more like traditional type of ads. And what we're seeing today overall is more like an 80-20 split when you're looking at the entire market, right? So the TAM of the ad market is around like $15 or $20 billion a year. But there is a specific categories, or a few categories, that they're making between 80 to 100% of their money through ads. Right. So this is the way that games make ads. Some of them, a very small part, are through subscription, but this is really like a relatively small.
What is it about these games or their audience that is making the ad model work so well?
So let's differentiate between the type of ads. So rewarded video, if you think about it, or rewarded ad, because today it's also rewarded playables or anything like that. This is actually an opportunity for users who, for their own reasons, are reluctant to pay, right? They don't want to pay for things in the game. And now there is an alternative payment model, right? So these users are now getting similar things, usually at a lower worth. These are, if you think about it, these are actually nano payments and not micro payments, because what they're getting, the monetary value of watching an ad would usually be, let's say, 3 or 4 cents, while when you're paying an in-app purchase, your usual transaction will be, let's say, $1, something like that. So you will get the equal currency or equal reward of what 3 or 4 cents would give you. Right, but it would still be a way for the users to still enjoy the game, still get more from the game, still be able to achieve more in the game itself without really paying. Because if you think about it, with a good game, you might get into an average of 3 to 5% paying users. And rewarded video, by the way, the engagement rate is about 50%. So now you have 50% of your users who are more interacted with your game. They're getting rewards, their retention is increasing. So it's a very strong ecosystem, and users love it. But I think it's the only ad in the world that if a developer would remove that, you'd actually see negative reviews in the store, and we've seen it many times, right? So that's on the rewarded ad ecosystem. And when you're looking on the display ecosystem, then it's more about, I think that users understand that the games are free, right? And then this is the way that games are making their money, from showing ads. And the majority of the ads shown are other games, right? So it's not that I'm playing a game and now I'm seeing suddenly an ad for Coca-Cola, right? Which can also be great, but it's really I'm playing a game. And now through very advanced targeting mechanisms, or I'm getting an ad for another very relevant game in an HD video, right? So, and if you think about it, the entire game advertising industry is kind of like a huge cross-promo ecosystem. Yeah. Because most of the ads are games on games, right?
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I mean, the kinds of people who are really into watching rewarded ads because it helps them get ahead in a game, they would seem like they're the people who aren't spending money. So if they go from one game to another, if they enact on one of these ads, now this is just a person watching ads on this other game, or is the other game hoping that this person's going to come and spend money?
Yeah, so you're actually raising a very, very interesting point. In general, if I'm not spending money on one game, it doesn't mean that I won't spend money on another game, right? So it's not just about moving users who their potential to pay is low. And actually, most of the optimization is done based on complete ROAS, return on advertising spend, right? Because advertisers, when they work with ironSource or other companies, they usually send postbacks of what would be the event post the install, and then the optimization is done based on that. So the idea is to help find users that eventually can of course monetize, right? Or help the game developer monetize. But so that's one. The other thing, which is actually something, it's a very interesting topic in general, is that if let's take as an example the ad-based games, right? Let's take Hyper Casual, for example. If Hyper Casual would sell their inventory only to other Hyper Casual, then there is nobody who's kind of fueling the ecosystem. You know what I mean? If there is no paying user eventually, and games who are monetizing on ads are now just trading users with each other, how does this sustain eventually? But the answer is that there is always a proportion that is being sold to IAP advertisers, right? The likes of Plerix or King or Supercell and all of these guys, and this is what actually monetized the ecosystem.
So there is a game at the top that is a different kind of game than these hyper casual games that is better at getting people to spend money and in game over time, and so they're much more confident about saying, hey, come to us. We know you aren't spending money in this game, but you were never supposed to spend money in this game. No one thinks you're going to really, and so you're going to end up here, and we think that our mechanics are in a way that are going to convince you to convert into a paying user.
Yeah, I wouldn't say better. It's different, right? And also it's a different audience. Hyper casual games, and if you go now and you'll open the App Store or the Play Store, you'll see that the most, when you're looking at top downloads, you'll see that the hyper casual ones, downloads wise, not revenue wise, you see that they're usually at the top of the list because they're getting the biggest number of installs, and the reason is that if you think about, I don't know if you played hyper casual games, but these games, these are usually smaller games, right? Less complicated, and they're not really addressing gamers, right? They're basically addressing everybody. So I even think that when you're playing a hyper-casual game, this is actually more similar to scrolling through your Instagram feed, right? It's kind of like I need my 30 seconds of not thinking about anything and playing this instant game or going through my feed or doing whatever I want, right? And these games, they are increasing. We've done many researches on that, and what we've seen is that they are increasing the overall number of gamers. Right, so, and the mechanism here is because it addresses such a wide audience, also the conversion rate to installs are usually very high, right? Because it addresses everybody, and from the beginning, the game is usually the game structure is usually not deep enough in order to support in-app purchase, right? So it's a completely different mechanism compared to this is an in-app purchase game that the company have been working on for several years. The lifetime of this game, these games like big IAP companies, they're building games to last 10 years, right? The good hyper casual games would be live for 3 months, right? So it's a real different type of game, right? And then if I'm an IAP game advertiser, and now I have this, basically everybody are playing hyper-casual games, and now I need to target the right users that would become paying users on my game through targeting, which is what IronSource helps them do, and of course, through the fact that they have a very good mechanic into converting users into paying users.
Very cool. So then, I mean, you brought up, like, that's what you help people do. I mean, so yeah. Where does IronSource come into this equation?
So in both sides of this equation, right? So whether I'm a big game and I wanna monetize, right? I wanna better monetize through ads. So IronSource actually has two offerings here. One is the platform itself, right? So the mediation platform, or we're calling it the growth platform, which is basically the technology product that now I'm using to manage all of my ad monetization. So even if I'm now showing an ad coming from Facebook or Google or AppLovin or Unity or whoever, it's the IronSource platform that manages all of that, right? That optimizes what network will show the ad to any user. So that's that the platform itself. By the way, our platform is also doing much more than mediation. It also gives different kinds of analytics and many more things. But that's the platform side. And then in addition to that, we are a network ourselves, right? So we'll probably, again, depending on what ratings, but we will probably number three today after Facebook and Google. When you're looking on the ad networks in the gaming vertical, we're only focused on games, right? And we're the biggest after Facebook and Google. And so we are a network and we are a platform. So this is how we help game developers monetize. And on the other side, we are also a very strong marketing partner for these guys, right? So if they want now to do user acquisition or distribution, because the ecosystem is basically like this big cross promotion, and we manage all this inventory. By the way, our SDK is integrated, right? In around we are seen through our SDK around 500 million DAOs, right? So it's massive scale, right? And through that scale, we can also provide our developers with really wide reach for distribution.
Just wanted to clarify for people listening, DAOs, you mean
daily active users, sorry.
Yeah. Right. No, yeah, go ahead, keep going.
No, so this is basically the offering, right? The everything around managing your ad monetization, right? And being a network, right? So the platform and the network, and the other side is helping the developer to do the distribution, the user acquisition itself. And one of our maybe kind of secret sauce or core things that we've started, and now many others are speaking about as well, is connecting it together, right? Connecting the monetization and the user acquisition. We're calling it the growth loop, right? And it's basically really looking at this funnel as an holistic one, and doing and optimizing the monetization in a way which is connected to the user acquisition and really improving the entire funnel. So basically, think of it as kind of being, especially for the ad-based guys, we are their growth engine, right? Because all of their monetization is through ads. And for IAP, we give them really targeted distribution, or we help them monetize what they're monetizing through ads.
So let's talk about like both sides of that. Like, let's start with I'm a developer. I have a game, a hyper casual game. I understand that I go to Iron Source and I'm going to be able to put ads on my game and actually make some money from it. What is that process like? Are the developers actually bringing games to you, or are you guys going out there and looking for games, or is it a combination of the two?
Yeah, so if you chose hyper casual as an example, we're actually the biggest network today in the world on hyper casual. When we did our calculation, we represent somewhere between 25% to 30% of the entire hyper casual ecosystem when you're looking at user acquisition side. So this means that basically they're coming to us, right? The majority of them are coming to us, and our sales team is actually much, much smaller than our growth team, and they can either use our self-serve process, right? We have many partners which are using our self-serve, and for the bigger ones out there, we're also offering a managed support, and then basically we can help them with, first of all, of course, integrating what they need in order to effectively monetize, which is, first, you should take the platform, right, in order to manage all of your ad monetization. Then we can even help to decide together on what would be the best way to kind of set the funnel on the waterfall and the monetization. And then after they're ready on that side, we of course will help do all of the user acquisition, again, whether through self-serve, through managed with an account manager, or today with our new offering, also through publishing if they want to.
And then if I'm a developer who is looking to get users, putting out ads, trying to bring in people to play my game, again, am I approaching you? Because I know this is a good way to bring in new people.
Yeah, of course, you're approaching us, and we pride ourselves on or we're really trying to provide great service, and in many cases we'll not only provide a product, but we help them and guide the developers on everything they need to do to acquire new users. But yes, you'll log into our system, or you'll open an account, and usually you either decide on what's your CPIs, cost per install, right? How much you want to pay per install, right? Or you can even say, I am going to use your algorithm. This is how much money I'm making, right? And now you can use our optimizer in order to actually decide a bid based on the ROAS that you want, on the return of advertising spend that the advertiser want. But let's take the classic case. The classic case would be, I'm a game developer. I know that every user is worth a dollar. So now I'm coming and opening a campaign, and I can pay 70 cents CPI because I'm aiming at a 30% positive ROAS. Again, really simplifying it. And then our business model would be is that we would rev share that with our publishers, right? The advertiser is paying for an install. It's important because it's performance driven, right? They're not paying for views. They're paying for an actual install. And in many cases, the price of the install is actually being determined by the actual money generated by the advertiser. So the risk here is very low.
Right. So no one's making huge upfront payments and like worried about like, oh, is this money going to be worth it? It's all based on performance.
It's all based on performance. This is what's amazing here. And basically it's all about once you're reaching what works, the game, one of the reasons that the game industry is or the mobile games is thriving is once the formula works, then you can really hyperscale it. Right? Once you know that you can pay 70 cents and this is a competitive offering, and you see the lifetime value, right? Then it's a cycle, right? If I'm an IAP game, it can take about 12 months for me to get my full lifetime value, and then I need LTV prediction tools and all of that. But if I'm an ad-based games, I'm within a week or even less, even a few days, would actually know what my return would be. So the risk factor is relatively low.
Right. So I think I kind of understand this whole chain now. Like you're creating value on both sides. You guys are connecting those two sides, and then you guys have to take some revenue share from whatever that performance ends up being. I guess then what is the future? Like you're talking about really scaling and then making this a huge, huge business. What does that look like?
Yeah. First of all, the answer is yes. We're looking to continue and scale and making this into a huge business, exactly like you said. We are really, really bullish on strong believers around the games ecosystem, right? Or the games vertical. In many cases, we thought whether we want to expand into also non-games, but right now our focus is games, and we're looking to continue and grow. Right, we're already relatively big, but to continue and grow within what we're doing and also extend our offering more and more to game developers, right? So the publishing is an example. We are adding more capabilities into our platform, and eventually we really want to be the biggest go-to partner for all game developers who are looking to grow their business, right? And we believe that the potential here is huge, right? So even though we're relatively big already, we really feel that it's only the beginning.
The hyper-casual game market, it's one, you know, I'm vaguely familiar with it. I've played a few here and there. Is there any sense that, like, these are fads, that these are passing just sort of little things of entertainment that people are into right now that they might go away? Or do you think that there's always been a hunger for this and now it's finally being served and there's a finally way for it to make money?
So this is actually a very good question. We've released a few articles about it and we've also, I gave a whole presentation only about what you just asked in the event that we're hosting GameFest once a year. First of all, the short answer is that we think that it's not a hype, right? Or it's not like a one-hit wonder. It's a category, and it's here to stay. And it's some might say that it's even a business model more than saying it's a category. But basically, the hyper-casual games, it's the first time that games manage to do effective UA by monetizing through ads, right, and not in a purchase, which means that the barrier of entry is lower. So more and more and more people can now become game developers because it's easier or it's less complicated to develop hyper-casual games comparing to AAA games or IP games. So what you're seeing is you're seeing more and more and more people are becoming game developers and are developing these games. So what we think is going to happen with this category is, first of all, it's here to stay. But we do think that at the beginning there was this huge hyper growth around it, right? And it and it really grew like crazy. And now we think that it's here to stay, but it's going to normalize and grow somewhere within the growth of the entire ecosystem, right? So it's kind of becoming more of a mainstream category and a solid business model, but it's maturing. So it's not like it's the new kid on the block that now everybody are trying and installing. It's an important category that is going to continue and be sustainable.
Awesome. Omer, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. Good luck with everything and have a good one. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, this was How Do Games Make Money. We're just getting started here. We're going to see how this goes. Let me know if you guys have any input about this, any questions. Maybe we can follow up with Omer if anyone thinks I missed something. That would be great. Until next time, thank you, and we'll catch you then.